Morning again, and good morning to those who are watching, maybe on Zoom or seeing us later online. So good to have you with us this morning. Today is a very, very special day. Today we are joining in on a tradition of our faith that has been practiced for over 2,000 years. That's kind of special. And every generation all around the world. And more than a tradition, however, it was Jesus himself who gave the command to the apostles and the early church to baptize those who would believe in him and follow him. In Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go there," Jesus says, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Goes right on with children's message this morning. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You're thankful for that promise this morning. So water baptism, therefore, is one way to signify and demonstrate that Jesus Christ is Lord, both of the church, who carries on his instruction, and of the individuals that are obeying his command to be baptized. But like any tradition, however, it's kind of easy to keep doing something over and over without really knowing what it's all about. The story is told of a husband who was watching his wife in the kitchen one day, and she's making dinner, and he watches her cut the small end off the ham before she puts it in the oven. And he said, "Well, honey, why did you cut that? I mean, that looks edible to me. Why did you cut that end of the ham off?" And she thinks for a minute and she says, "Well, I don't know. That's the way we always did it. That's the way my mother taught me. Let me ask mom." So she calls her mother on the phone and says, "Why did we cut the end off the ham before we put it in the oven?" And she said, paused a minute, she said, Well, that's the way I was taught to do it. Let me call your grandma." So she calls grandma on the phone and says, "Grandma, we're wondering why, we cut the end off the ham before, we put it in the oven." And grandma says, thinks for a second. She says, "Well, when we first got married, my pan was too small and the whole ham wouldn't fit on it." So here we can do that, can't we? Carry on a tradition, not really knowing what it's all about. So likewise, I have personally talked to Christians throughout many years of ministry who say that they got baptized when they were young, but really didn't understand what it was all about, what it was all for. It seemed to be just the thing to do when they got to be a certain age in a Christian church, you got baptized. So, something that is meant to be a rich and powerful, meaningful spiritual experience becomes just something to check off a list. I did that, in my Christian walk. So can we say that anything worth doing, that's really worth doing, is worth understanding what we're doing and why? I think so. So I want to take the opportunity this morning to briefly explore water baptism, what it is, why we do it, what it means. So first of all, the word baptism itself comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or submerge. It was the same word that they would use for a sinking ship. That's one of the reasons why we practice baptism by immersion when we can. I understand some people, are homebound, that kind of thing. But that's one of the reasons. That's what the word means, right? But there's a more important reasons than that, and I'll get into that as we go here. First of all, when we see baptism practiced in the New Testament by the early church, how they did it, right, and how they understood it, we learn some things. In the book of Acts, over and over, we see that those who were baptized were those who had come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Acts 2 says those who received his word, that was the preaching of the gospel by Peter, were baptized. Acts 8 says they believed Philip as he preached the good news and were baptized. Acts 16 says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to the words of Paul, again, preaching the gospel, and she was baptized. Acts 18 says many of the Corinthians hearing Paul do what? Preach the gospel, believed and were baptized. Believe, baptize, believe, baptize, believe, baptize. That's how the early church understood it. Now, why is this important? Because baptism is meant to be a demonstration of that belief, a demonstration in the natural of what has already taken place, spiritually speaking. To put it very simply, as I learned it long, long time ago, baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. When a person truly believes the gospel and puts their faith in Jesus Christ, a profound change takes place, the Bible says. And many of us can nod our heads and say, yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There is a point of what we call theologically regeneration. We put our faith in Christ. He cleanses us from our sins. We become a holy vessel, then cleansed, and God puts his spirit of his own essence inside of us. We are changed. We are transformed into something different than we were before. We look the same on the outside. We look the same when we look in the mirror. But inside, something is different. The very presence of God lives in us. The old is past, the new has come. And that's exactly the picture when we practice immersive water baptism. It's the passing of the old life and the coming of the new, a death and resurrection. Baptism is a picture of death being buried in the water and rising to new life. Romans 6:3 says it this way: do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is a spiritual experience that happens from the hand of God. And then what we do then is to demonstrate that in baptism. The old person, spiritually dead because of sin, separated from God, that person, that life, dead and buried in the water, right? A new life emerges. A new relationship with God as Father, a new way to relate to Him in life, not just as God who will judge my sins, but as God who has forgiven my sins, has loved me, who says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a new relationship with God. A new Holy Spirit living inside to walk with us, talk with us, empower us to hear and to do, as Kate said this morning in the children's message. It's a new way to understand and live life. You know, whereas before, it was all about, okay, success, and I need this and I need that, and I'm taking this whole world and what I can get out of it. And now it's a whole new way of understanding God in me and God reaching out through me to love the world around me. What can I do to help you? What can I do to bless you? What can I do to be of service? That's God living in us. Whole new way to live life. And of course, a whole new destiny. Whereas separated from God, we would be eternally separated in a place where Jesus said would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we have something awesome to look forward to. No more death, no more tears, no more dying, no more pain, no more suffering, just peace and joy and glory in the Lord's presence forever and ever and ever. So we are baptized. And when we do that, we are saying by way of demonstration, this is what has happened to me. The old person is gone. The new person is here. My old life is done. He has given me new life in Jesus Christ because I have believed his gospel. That Jesus came, God in the flesh, that he died on the cross bearing my sin, that he rose again, defeating sin and death for me, and that in believing, I have made Jesus Christ my Savior. I have made Jesus Christ my Lord. And that now, through this new relationship with him, I will walk by his power in newness of life. So baptism doesn't grant or earn us salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says clearly, for grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So, we can't stand here and say, well, I went to church and I went to Sunday school and I helped people and I got baptized. And no, it's I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for me in his death and resurrection. Do you see it? We have new life, not because we suddenly decided to get religious, but because God saved us. Because somewhere in the hearing of that gospel that Jesus came and died for me, God opened my perception. He opened my heart to be able to understand and grab a hold of that and cleanse me from my sin, grant me forgiveness, put his spirit in me. So I boast in him. I boast in him. And we may not be perfect. Hear that, candidates. This does not mean, okay, from here on in, I went under the water, so now I'm going to be perfect from no. Doesn't happen. But I like to say it's not perfection, it's progression. The more and more we begin to hear his voice and to surrender ourselves to his ways because they are best, because we become more blessed, our relationships become more blessed. The more we walk with him, the more and more our hearts are in line with him. And the more and more the outside matches what he's done for us on the inside. It's God who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. And he, listen to this one, he who began a good work in us will be faithful to bring it to completion, Philippians 1:6. So our dependence is not on us, not on our willpower from this point on. Our dependence is on him and his power. He started it. He's going to get us through, right? We enter this thing by faith. We continue in it by faith. And so, to bring it all down, when we come to the waters of baptism, what are we doing? We're saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe that you died for me and rose again. I take you as my Savior and my Lord. I have a new life in you, and I want everybody else to know it too. And that is water baptism. Amen. And that's what our candidates are here to do this morning. Let's pray. Father, such an important day. An important day, Lord, for these candidates to understand the declaration that they are making and the truth that they are walking into, a new life in relationship with you, not a ticket punched for heaven, a relationship. Daily relationship with you, getting to know you more and more each and every day, getting to understand your word, getting to understand the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Knowing that conflict when I want to do this and I know the Lord wants to do that. And I eventually surrender and say, yeah, that's the way to do it. And we blow it. We ask forgiveness. We get up and we go on with your help. I pray, Lord. As James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I pray, Lord, that as these candidates today, Ryan and Natalie and Ryan, take that step toward you, that you will take a step toward them in a big way and reveal yourself even more fully to their hearts. Thank you for it all. We honor you and bless you today as we obey your command to baptize. Thank you, Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Natalie, come on down. Right. This is Natalie Rose White. How pretty of a name is that? Okay, Natalie, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus came, took your sins on the cross, died, rose again, defeating sin and death for you?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to share?
No, thanks.
Okay. On the confession of your faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Natalie. God, we know that you have a plan for her life. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause her to fulfill that plan in a glorious way. God, I can just see in her demeanor the joy that she can bring to others through her kindness, through her bubbly personality. And Lord, would you use her? God, there's a lot of hurting people in this world, and we pray that you would use her to touch the hearts of many and draw them to you. We thank you. Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, Ryan David White. Get that right? All right. Ryan, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
You believe he came from heaven, died on the cross, bearing your sins, rose again on the third day, defeating death and sin for you.
Yes.
Is there anything that you would like to share?
No, thank you.
Okay. Boy, these guys are polite. They've been raised right, haven't they? All right.
Father, Holy Spirit, there is no life without death. Where is your life?
Well, Father, we do lift Ryan up to you, God. Again, Lord, Your word says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. And God, I pray that you would raise up this young man in this generation, Lord. Again, a generation with a lot of discontent, a lot of division, a lot of confusion. And I pray, Lord, that you would use him to bring clarity to his generation. I pray, Lord, that you would put your word in his mouth, the word of truth in his mouth, Lord, in a way that touches the lives of people, in a way, Lord, that doesn't come across condescending or holier than thou, but a way that comes across loving and intelligent. Bless him with that, Lord. And I thank you for it. Christ, we pray. Oh, Ryan Russell Harkins, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you believe that he came from heaven? God of God and man of man, died on the cross for your sins, and on the third day rose again to defeat sin and death for you?
Yes.
Is there anything that you would like to share?
I put this off for a while. I feel like probably the enemy told me I wasn't good enough. But that doesn't matter, does it? And I pray we all continue to grow in our faith.
Amen. To walk in newness of life. Father God, the church family, Lord, we pray for Ryan. God, our hearts go out to him, Lord. The enemy would lie and say, you're not good enough. You do this, you do that. He's the accuser of the brethren, as the Bible says. But Lord, you say there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You say that through Jesus Christ we have peace with God. Lord, you say, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch Ryan's heart, that he would arise in a new chapter of faith, Lord, looking not to his ability, not looking to his willpower, but looking, Lord, with joy in his heart each and every day, expecting you to come and to be with him and to guide him and to empower him and to lead him, Lord, into the future that you have for him. God, I thank you for his the desire of his heart, Lord, to be a help to people. And God, I pray that you would continue to enable him to do that. But God, I have a sense that you have a calling for Ryan, a calling that can reach a man that is humble. Speak to his heart, Lord. Guide him as he would open your word, Lord, fill his heart and his mind with truth. Build in him, Lord, that which you would use to reach others for you.
And we thank you for that, Father. Bless him. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. Again, well, let's just close this part in prayer. Father, as we do participate together in this solemn practice, we thank you for the promises that you've made to each of us as we come to you with nothing in our hands, no big things on our own to be able to say we this, we that. You've saved us. You've put your spirit in us. You continue to empower us each and every day. But Lord, our hearts, our desire is to walk with you more and more fully each and every day, to give you more of our hearts, to let go of the things of the past that have bound us up, Lord, the failures, the disappointments. We want to let go of them and to grab a hold of all that you have for us. Jesus, you said you came to give us life and that more abundant. And we pray, Lord, that you would walk us into that for your glory and for your honor. Praise you, give you the thanks. In Christ we pray. All God's family said. Amen.